Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and our guest today is Ivan Handler, Chief Information Officer at the Illinois Department of Healthcare and Family Services. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Stu Avinsky. Ivan, your agency is responsible for the administration of public health insurance in Illinois. Would you tell us more about your IT efforts to increase access to both public and lower-cost private health insurance?
Well, some of this, you know, involves the health insurance exchanges, which is a something we're starting to work on with our Department of Insurance. So the Medicaid side is the side that we deal with. For the other non-Medicaid-related areas, that's going to be through our Department of Insurance. Just so we've got a partner, another partnership there, that's that way that's going to go. One of the things I am very strong about talking about right now and getting people to think about is in terms of Medicaid services, including, you know, applications and eligibility, we have an enormous number of provider sites that are nonprofits, federally qualified health centers, school health clinics, other small health clinics, you know, run by the city or by the state, public health areas that public health has their clinics, hospitals, you name them. They all have software and hardware to some extent. They all are running services, and they are all trying to figure out how to apply or use Medicaid services. And what happens is we force them to, like, fax, you know, they'll gather information in their system, and they'll print out a form, and they'll mail it in or they'll fax it, and then we'll data enter it. And between the two of them, of course, we're going to be making more errors than you need to. And they're frustrated that and, you know, this goes not just for Medicaid, of course, this goes across all the human services spectrum because many people get lots of different services. So one of the frustrations they have is that the state systems, you know, are oriented toward front ends and things that come from the state and don't think about the amount of capacity that exists at these local levels. I'm interested in getting out of the front end business altogether, not even having a portal if we could have ever avoid it, and allowing the local providers to use their software to populate the applications and to send exchange information back and forth. That's a lot what health information exchange should be anyway. And now all of a sudden, we're now leveraging what exists at the local organization. They're the ones who serve the local populations. They're the ones who understand them the best. And they're the ones who the vendors, you know, have to fight over to serve. So if we could have the right kind of combination of I'll call it, let's say, maybe extended MITA compatible Medicaid information technology architecture, you know, modules that serve these things. And one, I can get out of the front end business and concentrate on the back end, which is where I belong. And then we can have much more customized services and interfaces to the public at the local level where they usually go. And if people want a self-service portal, fine. We just let people know if you want to interact with us in this kind of way, you better offer a portal. Problem solved. And that way, we're actually leveraging the best of both worlds, and we're obviously not only reducing costs, but we're making the people who provide the services happier. And since they provide the services for our clients, you would kind of want to make them happier, right? That's my view.
Switching gears, HFS's Division of Child Support Services is first and foremost a program intended to bring economic benefit and support to children while strengthening their families. To that end, how have you leveraged technology, outreach campaigns, and streamlining of processes to further the mission of that division?
Well, that's another system that's fairly old. And so we've got plans. Pam Lowry, who is the person who runs our Child Support Services group, is a really great leader and thinker. We're moving in a variety of directions, and obviously one of the directions is going to have to be to think about upgrading also the hardware and software in some way, and I'm hoping that it will be also kind of part of this larger information exchange. But the other things we do is, even with legacy systems, we've innovated, for example, made, for people who don't understand, the way that child support works a lot is you find out where the non-custodial parent works, and if they're not paying, you can garnish wages. We've found out that we can find out if, you know, with connections to other agencies, that they've got a fishing license or a hunting license, and if they want to get their license, they better make their child support payment. That's another thing we've done with the existing system. So a lot of child support has to do with finding out who's where in the country and what can we do to induce them to pay for their children. and you know, which in many cases these people are also very poor. So we're not talking about, you know, we're not talking about a situation that necessarily gets these children out of poverty, which is unfortunate. But at least, you know, we're moving in the right direction, and with other kinds of support from other human service agencies, we are hopefully making life a lot better for children and their families.
Ivan, nearly $1 billion in Recovery Act investment has been made to advance the adoption and use of health information technology. To that end, what is health IT? How is the adoption of health IT going to transform healthcare delivery? And what are some of the obstacles and challenges you face?
Yeah, okay. And well, I'll finish this question sometime tomorrow morning. let me explain that. Health information technology is one of these things that has two meetings. It's a general meeting, which is what it sounds like, information technology being used for healthcare. And then there's a specific meeting, for example, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. What they mean when they talk about health information technology is what's known as the reimbursement of Medicaid providers for the meaningful use of electronic medical records. Now, what that mouthful is all about is trying to get people who serve Medicaid patients to use electronic medical records and then to take the information in these medical records and use, actually, not, besides just having them as a medical record, to use them in ways that benefit the system and benefit the population overall. It could be public health reporting. E-prescribing is a big deal. Using what's called structured lab results, which is another very complex issue to talk about, but start using the information, exchanging the information in ways that are meaningful, meaning, for example, that somebody's very poor, they may end up over at this clinic. We have a medical home project in Illinois, so hopefully everyone has a primary care physician, but they can still end up in the emergency room over here in some other place. It'd be nice if when that happens, we know their medical history and whoever is working on them, you know, knows all the things they need to know. So that's part of what we want. That's part of what we call meaningful use. That gets implemented, the meaningful use, this exchange of data gets implemented on a health information exchange, which is really a network and a set of protocols that allows this information to be exchanged securely, to be audited, and, you know, and also this is a matter of something called consent, which is another big item which is going to become very big over the next couple of years, which is what does it mean, you know, who gets to see the information? And how does an individual consent to allow the sharing of information? You know, these are big questions that are now just coming to the fore. And again, technology is the mediator for all of this stuff. So that's pretty much what we mean by health information technology in a very sketchy way.
So what are some of the obstacles and challenges you see being faced with the adoption of health IT?
Well, there's a variety of them, of course. I mean, if you talk to a lot of physicians, a lot of them are not happy with electronic medical records. And, you know, there's some that are crabbing because, yeah, it's old, you know, they're old school or whatever. But there's a lot of young people that don't like them. One of the things I think that we have, one of the biggest challenges I think we're facing is that physicians are not data entry clerks in electronic medical records. And I saw one of the early ones in Reagan Street in Indianapolis, early in the mid-80s, actually, Clem McDonald, who, you know, the brilliant guy who's not the one of the people who founded the Illinois, which is now the Illinois Health Information Exchange. But it was a step forward, but it's difficult for physicians because the reality is, I mean, you don't really care what your doctor's EMR is. You care about your interaction with your doctor, right? That's what we want. For many physicians right now, it's faster for them to write something on it in paper than it is to get things in electronically. So I think one of the big challenges is how do we enhance the relationship between the provider and the client? And that means designing technology that's based on understanding that relationship is what's driving quality. Not the data, it should be a side effect of that, but the data doesn't drive the quality. It's the physician or it's the social worker. So what do we need to do to think about that, to my mind, is really the question that will drive a lot of this much farther than we're going right now.
You've mentioned the Illinois Health Information Exchange. Would you tell us what's going on in that area? And more particularly, to what extent does the success of this effort require a new way of looking at data ownership?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's one of the hot buttons for a lot of people. But so we've got a grant, about $18 million altogether from the ONC, the Office of the National Coordinator, that's responsible for the Health Information Exchange. And we are, we've produced a group of stakeholders, public and private, and we are, we've done an initial planning, strategic and operational plan to the feds and submitted that. I don't think we've got much feedback yet, but we're expecting some quite soon. And we expect to start implementing an HIE, which in this case, there's a variety of services that have to come in at a kind of base level in order for things to work. Something called, you know, well, obviously we need some kind of provider directory. We need directory of all of our clients, and maybe that should be across all of the human services, some of the things we're thinking about. Something called a record locator service so we can know where the different medical records are and as that evolves, and a variety of other types of services that will be used to make sure that when someone needs electronic information about a particular person, that they get it, it's accurate, and that it's also protected from a privacy and security point of view. So that's, we're at the beginning. I wish I could say, you know, a whole lot of really wonderful things, but we've got a team in the governor's office, the Office of Health Information Technology, headed by a woman named Laura Zaremba. Excellent staff. They're working very hard, and that, you know, we're excited and expect to do a lot of great things.
So that brings up an interesting question. With so many different federal initiatives around healthcare and healthcare technology, how is Illinois keeping abreast of all this evolving information, and how do you maintain alignment across all of the affected parties within the state?
Well, I can dive under my bed. I mean, actually, at the MMIS conference, the Medicaid Management Information Systems conference last week, Rick Freeman from Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Systems got up, and he put this slide up in a nice little graphic and said, you know, and there's a few mandates that have come out, you know, and they keep on flying in. And in less than a minute, he had about 25 of them up there. And he was making it clear that he was aware of the fact that there's been an enormous number of mandates and deadlines come up, and the states are short on resources and are having a hard time keeping up. And I think all I can really say is that we're dedicated to do everything we can, but we're going to need to work with the feds and others to, you know, to do what we can. We are organizing ourselves the best way possible, but without the resources, without decision making at the federal level, you know, in ways that allow us to implement things, we're all in a little bit of risk at this point, and we're all in dialogue. And I mean, there's no finger pointing going on that I'm seeing so far. So we've all been pretty much discussing things, you know, including here at the ISM conference. And the feds are listening, which I think is good, and the states are listening. So I'm feeling that we're going to get there, but I wish I could give you a more concrete answer, but I can't.
Well, can you explain Illinois' vision for a health and human services framework? What is driving Illinois to that vision, and what challenges do you anticipate needing to overcome in realizing that vision?
Yeah, so this is another one that we could be here for hours on, but let me be brief. So aside from Medicaid, we have also an aging human services infrastructure. And it's spread over, well, it was about seven agencies. Now, mostly it's in one agency, the Department of Human Services, but it's got, you know, five or seven different, you know, departments in there. And they've all got their own systems, and they don't really communicate very effectively systems-wise. And again, clients get frustrated. We're trying to come up with this, you know, idea of this single door, single entrance into the system. That's really what the framework is predicated on, the idea that let's, again, if we want quality outcomes and improve things for our clients, and the first thing we should do is make it easier for our clients to get services, not to have to kind of get dragged between all these different programs and different applications and things. So that's what we want to do. But what our next step is to release an RFP, we hope soon, for a planning vendor, because what that means is concrete. And the only way to get down to the dirty in that is to get someone to come in and help us, you know, go through the whole as-is and to-be analysis that lets us say, okay, here's how we're going to do it, and here's how we're going to make this transition, and here's the sequence of operations they're going to place, and here's how much it's going to cost, and here's, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's where we want to go, and I think it's where we need to go, and we'll get there. But we're just, again, at the beginning of the process, and some of the economics that has happened recently have kind of, you know, made it more difficult. But I see the framework as another thing that we have no choice as a state. We have to do it. So it's a question of how clever can we be to figure this out.
Ivan, connecting with the folks that you service, the folks in need, is critical to be successful. What are you doing in the area of leveraging Web 2.0 technologies and social media platforms?
Right now, not very much. And again, I have to say I'm skeptical. I think there may be some people that will benefit from that. But from what I've seen, and I've been to a variety of different conferences where this is talked up a lot, I haven't heard enough concrete analysis about what it's doing. You know, when we need to keep in touch with people, we need to keep in touch with people for a variety of reasons. They may need to renew their Medicaid. We may need, you know, they may need to get to an appointment. They maybe got diabetes or hypertension, and they're supposed to come in, you know, to we want their provider to be able to tell them time to come in for a checkup, or, you know, there's a number of kinds of things. And social media could potentially play a role there. But how do we interface it? You know, what are the questions? What's the payoff? What's the population that's going to use it? There's a lot of big questions here. And I know the social media stuff is very sexy, but, you know, I want to understand it concretely. I'm old school. I'm an older guy, so I don't use it. I mean, I'm on Facebook and some of these things, but I don't use it a whole lot. And my daughter is a different story altogether. I just think we need to be concrete about it. And when we get concrete, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of things about it that we want to use and that will be valuable. But no one has yet explained it to me in a way that shows how, as a Medicaid agency, that we're going to want to use this.
What does the future hold for information technology at the Illinois Department of Healthcare and Family Services? We will ask Ivan Handler, its CIO, to share with us when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.